What up, everyone? Welcome again to another episode from My Mom's Garage, where we take a movie or TV show and give it back to you full of spoilers, thoughts, concerns, questions, and rating at the end. As always, this is your host, Tony, with my boy, Nicky.
Hello,
senor.
Hello, B.
Everything good?
Everything good.
All right, so let's
good in the hood.
Good in the hood? Yeah, good. So let's jump into the this week's movie. So, how would you feel if there's a world without any Beatles music? And then this is the ultimate one-man Beatle tribute band.
So, I'm not, like, I feel like I would know Beatles songs if I hear them, but I don't know. Like, if you told me, oh, you know, say a Beatles song, I really don't know, like, how well I would know that. So, Beatles wouldn't be my... I guess in this case, it wouldn't be my episode. Like that, the thing in that movie that was like big being the Beatles, it wouldn't be mine only because I if you told me the Beatles didn't exist, I'm like, I couldn't mark it off of that. Cause
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to reenact the songs.
All right. So, well, but, today's movie.
No, but it's, yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
So today's movie is called Yesterday's, which you can find on Netflix. The story follows John Malik, a struggling local artist in England, and there's this global unknown phenomenon that happens that everything shuts down globally for like 12 seconds. And in that mere 12 seconds, he gets hit by a car. He goes to the hospital. He's banged up. And then he comes to find out that nobody knows who the Beatles is. Like the Beatles, the band did not exist after this global, time adjustment, because there was also other things like Coke wasn't there, Harry Potter,
cigarettes,
Oasis, Wonderwall, like there's just a bunch of shit. Childish Gambino was in it, still active and alive in that, but he ends up using the fame, the great timeless music of Beatles songs, to catapult him to like this global. The next global greatest songwriter after Ed Sheeran, who they try to emphasize in this movie. And he goes into this moral dilemma of imposter syndrome because he
literally is.
Well, yeah, because he's like, the music, it's amazing. Nobody knows it, but I don't feel like it's me. I feel like I'm an imposter. I feel like a thief.
Yeah.
And he's going through this whole moral dilemma with the he soon succumbs to find out the love of his life and the struggle between fame, success, happiness, and where is that truly lie in into this world. Mm-hmm. And that's the movie and the gist of it. So I know you wanted to say something regarding the beginning of like the character, was it?
So movies always have to have these weird kind of sequences, because the whole point is you're gonna tell me the story. So before you tell me the story, or you're telling me like basically what, like the journey we're about to go on, right?
Yeah,
you have to introduce the characters, but you also have to introduce the characters in a way that makes the audience care about like what's gonna happen to them. And I felt like the beginning was so bland. Like I really didn't care what happened to this guy at the beginning of the movie. Honestly, it didn't start to pick up a little bit, maybe a little like more towards after he really started to remake it, or really when he started to pick up
traction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think pretty much where Ed Sheeran showed up is after that was more intriguing. But the beginning part of it was very, I don't know, just I was so bland. I didn't care about this guy.
Slow pace. And
I don't even know if it was slow pace. I just felt like it wasn't engaging somehow.
Okay.
Like, you know, that's the thing is like, because the thing is, like, movies are great. The stories of certain movies are wonderful. They cause intrigue. They cause question. They cause, you know, conversation, things like that. But ultimately, too, the second element of a movie is always the characters. The characters have to be compelling. Because you can tell me the greatest story, greatest love story of all time, but if you don't make me care about the people falling in love, then it's not worth watching.
Yeah, I get you. Because I understand. Because in the whole process of this, I guess is. The first 15 minutes of the movie is trying to create this underdog story. Like somebody is struggling to try to make it with his own music. And then we didn't get that. It just falls into the right into understanding, like, oh shit, this is a world without the Beatles.
Yeah.
And everything. And
that's what I'm saying. The story was intriguing. The outline of it was intriguing. And I think that's what it was. Because motivation. Okay, so maybe I missed that part in the beginning of the movie. Like, he wanted to be famous. Why? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, most times the people kind of tell you, like, because being famous is, I know it seems like everybody's dream, whatever, but technically there's always a hidden fact, a hidden thing that why you want to be famous, why you want this. But he really didn't even seem like he wanted to be famous. He just wanted to write songs.
No, he wanted to be famous.
But that's right. But I just felt like there was no introduction, like, that there's no motivation with that. Like, I didn't really know why he wanted to do any of these things.
Right, because you know what it is? Because we're catching it at the last end of his, like, if this doesn't make it, yeah, then that's it. Like, you don't see his buildup. You're already seeing his fall. He's already at the end of his fall.
Yeah.
So I think that's maybe you didn't see,
yeah, but
of, like, his ambition of how much. Like, you already, at, like, he was at his wit's end at this point. Mm-hmm. With his, because when he did a Latitude, mm-hmm, and he had like that shitty ass set, like it was like only four kids in there. Mm-hmm. He told, like, this is my last gig. I'm like, I'm gonna resort to getting an actual job and having to do what would be a normal typical 9 to 5 and just live my life like that. Understanding, like, my songs are not cut, not making the cut. I'm not becoming famous. Nobody's getting the attention I need. I'm not getting the attention I need to get to where I need to get to.
I know.
But, and it was just a small moment. And I think it was just that they rapidly paced it through.
But I've seen people loses be able to glimpse. Accomplish it.
Huh?
I will always go back to this because I don't know what it was about this era on TV that did such a good job. Tales from the Crypt. And not just because I just bought the whole
DVD set. Yeah,
yeah. It's because they were able to give you that. They give you that compassion or intrigue or backstory to a person's story within 5 minutes, because the whole episode is like 30 minutes.
Plus commercials.
No, it's HBO. It didn't have commercials.
I was thinking
Outer Limits. But Outer Limits too. But that's the thing. I think about all these episodes of the of Tales from the Crypt. They were able to kind of, without even doing just straight disposition, like exposition, they kind of gave you the back, because that's all you need is just a couple of, like, little things in a room, little intrigues, little backstories, little mindsets, little jokes amongst friends, all these different things that can always give you an insight to the person's struggle. And I'm not saying that they didn't really try to show a struggle. I just didn't feel like it conveyed properly.
Okay.
Well, but either way, like,
yeah, I know. Yeah. Even the moment that he, like, won a... The middle school concert?
Yeah.
And I think that's what wanted him to be like, I want to be a musician. And that's what he said for the next 20 years he was trying.
Yeah.
And it was just doing it. But one thing about this movie, which I didn't take to appreciation as much until after I watched it, was the Beatles music. Like, they were beautifully, so simple, so, like... Like, some of them were sad, some of them were happy, but it was just, like, so much emotions in the words that they chose and the way they arranged it. After I watched the movie, I literally want to be like, I'm going to go through their discography. I just want to listen to their albums and maybe not the ones that are popularly known that are people that are commercialized everywhere. I'm like, I want to see other songs that are not so popular that are still great just because I didn't appreciate it as much.
Well, it really opened my eyes. The movie, I mean, not opened my eyes to the Beatles, but opened my eyes to something, because I've had this thought process before, and this movie kind of made me think about it in depth in regard to this, because I feel like when it comes to anything artistic, movies, music, mm-hmm, art, photography, all that stuff, I feel like the art itself is only a factor, like a piece of it, right?
Yeah.
Because the other factors are time, like when in history is it released, audience, and the person who brings it to existence, right? And I know it sucks that last part, because why would it matter who brought it to existence? But the thing is that person is the selling point. You know, they're the one, their excitement, their love, their appreciation or their dedication, when especially their backstory to everything. Because one thing I noticed about this movie, they kept on asking him, and it showed you how that factor is so important, was what inspired you, what motivated you, what, like, people questioned every song he did because they were so beautiful, but they were about things, they were about situations, and that's why they connected to people. The problem was, is that when they tried to understand that connection, he couldn't provide an answer.
Yeah, because
he didn't live those experiences.
Yeah, he did. When he didn't live those experiences, too, there was songs like in the movie, like Eleanor Rigsby. Like, you had to be in of that town to understand that history, to understand whatever she went through, to for them to write that song. So there was, and I think it was brought up, they were like, you can't sing. It was hard for you to come up with songs on moments that you never lived, tell stories of the you never lived.
And he goes, that, like, you never been there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another one that came up, which I think is funny, is that I don't think it would be, I know it sounds interesting, and they're great songs, but they're great songs because of the time that they when they were released, who they were released by, the situation in the world that was released in. Because one song that he sang that everybody loved, but nobody even understood, was the USSR.
Yeah.
Because they were like, yo, but that's such an old, like, history. Like, I don't understand. Like, they were so confused.
That was out of your time.
Yeah, but they were still into it. Like, even though nobody would have understood it. Like, people now would understand it because of how long it's been out. And they can go back to the why it came out, when it came out.
Yeah.
But to release it, like, later. That's what I'm saying is, think about, I'm going to give you a perfect example.
La Macarena.
No. Well, no. Okay, imagine a movie, let's say a classic. I'm talking about beautifully classic, like something that you would appreciate, you think you would appreciate your entire life, and release it now. It won't work. I mean, it sounds weird, but I don't think it would work. Like Back to the Future. Like, if you release Back to the Future in its original format, the way it was written, the way it was designed, the way all the characters were, all the words mentioned, all the story structure to it, everything exactly the way it was back then, now, people only were introduced to this movie today. I don't think it would play as well. And I'm not saying that it's a bad movie. I'm just saying is that the audience was ready for that back then. Because sometimes, like, just because a movie is good doesn't mean that it's going to be appreciated, because it might not be released in the time that it'll be appreciated in.
Yeah, but also you have to look at it. Besides, in the terms of music, music is like a universal language. Like, there's, yeah,
but
there's songs that I didn't even know the language, but just the medley and the way that somebody's singing, you could convey their feelings on through it.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things with it, is that I think they chose, whoever wrote it, and they chose the Beatles because, one, is like, a lot of their songs are timeless.
Yeah.
A good portion of their discography are timeless. So at any point you could drop it at any time in generations, it still be relatable.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to propose to you, because this is the argument that I'm making. I think there's certain music, let's say, like, let's not even go to classic. I know you're saying that's classic, so I get your argument at that. But let's say something like Skrillex. Just an example. I know it's a weird thing to compare it to, but just to say that. If Skrillex were to be released 30 years ago, everybody would just hear noise.
Yeah.
Because I think what happens is one person comes out with a song or a group of songs, that's why it's the next generation. So
yeah, of course.
It's an evolution, not a like one good song that just is released and it's gonna be good for in any situation. It's an evolution. So that means the person, the society, people listening to it evolved ready to hear that song.
Yeah.
So if you try to release a song out of its decade, out of its time, that means there's no inspiration to have created it.
Yeah.
Which means that people would not be ready to hear it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
That's why I find it weird. I think it's hard to release something out of its element, out of its time, because everything evolved to that point. Like right now, I've told you this before when it comes to photography.
Mariah Carey comes out with the same fucking Christmas album every year.
But we evolved. to that. Like now we're used to it. Now it's a classic. Now it brings us our memories but to still, what we had.
It, 20 years from now, she would have sang it. It would have been this 20 years.
And 50 years from now, the little 50 kids years, from now 50
years ago, if it was 50 years before she was born, if somebody was saying that same song, it would have still been relevant.
Would it?
Yeah.
Nah, maybe not. That's what I'm saying.
I think like, it would.
That's what I'm saying.
It depends on the musicality of it, the lyrics behind it, the emotion, the storytelling. Skrillex, you're saying Skrillex, and I understand, but Skrillex is more of like EDM, drum and bass,
exactly,
DJ.
Exactly, but it's an evolved form of a different type of thing. Think about it like...
Yeah, but in the world of storytelling, because a lot of it was not that the music was not only beautiful, but the stories behind it. Like, you're a great songwriter. Mm-hmm. Like, throughout the whole movie, they were like, you're a great songwriter. You're one of the best writers of this generation. They're basing it off the writing of the music.
Okay, so
the arrangement of the arrangement of the music plays along hand to hand with it, but a lot of it we're just showing is like everything was written and sung by John Malik.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just thinking that it's a great concept, great idea, but ultimately in reality, if that actually happened, I don't think it would work. Although there's one thing though that the movie made me question a lot, which is, let's say the glitch, right? Like this is so weird because nobody in the movie really dug into it or whatever.
But, yeah.
So the glitch, I don't think the glitch removed or changed history. I don't think it changed history. I feel like, I don't know, maybe it did.
It had to change history.
Yeah, only because of the last part. Yeah, that I would, if they didn't have that last part, I probably would have said no, it didn't change history. Because before that last part with the person he met at the end, which we'll talk about in a second, if that part wasn't introduced, I would have said the glitch just removed things out of knowledge base.
Yeah.
People's memories, the databases, all that stuff. It removed the data from there, but not actually went back in time and changed history, because there's no way society would be the way it is without all the things. Because it sounds weird, but the butterfly effect is real.
Yeah.
If the Beatles didn't play their songs, inspiration for different songs, for different music, different genres.
I thought about that too. I'm like, how much music was not created because of people that were not inspired by something in the Beatles at that time? Now, I kind of want to see what would happen after this. Like,
if it actually changed history?
No, not changed history, but to see what all the music that got released from him would inspire another artist to do a whole new genre, a whole new way of writing and viewing life in a certain way. And then back to the movie a little bit, and I know we talked about it, like he felt like an imposter. And then this falls into, and I wrote notes on this one a little bit. It falls into this role of authenticity and artistry. So it's like it's almost like they're debating the importance of the authenticity in the music and the blurred lines between inspiration, homage, and plagiarism in his journey, because he understood that the music was amazing. He wanted to give it to the world because he wanted to share it. But he was also plagiarizing because he was taking all the credit for everything. So that was like a blurred line. You're like, you're giving the world what it needs. And like one of the characters in the movie, they were like, it was so great to hear these music again. And it's like the world would be worse without the Beatles.
Yeah.
Because they a lot of their songs promoted unity, love, you know what I mean? And gave comfort and closure to a lot of people in different parts of their life and different phases. So you're providing a service to the world from an artist or a group that is not your authentic self. It's not you, your words that are giving it, but you're providing it. So that was like a blurred line. I'm like, damn it. Like I kind of agree with him. Like, you're plagiarizing. You're just like fucking faking the funk. But at the same time, you're like, you're providing, it would be a disservice not to give it to the world.
So there was another thing about this movie that another direction that I thought it could have gone No, because you're right, and I like that, which is because the thing is, art in general, movies, music, all these different things, they inspire things. They create emotion out of people, and those emotions get turned into something else. Like, think about people that listen, like even scientists. Think about a scientist who might listen to, like, you know, some kind of Black Sabbath or some kind of song that inspires them or makes them feel creative or makes them feel emotional some kind of way, one or the other, that inspires the thought process that leads them to their discoveries. So that's what I'm saying, is like these elements exist in our society for a reason, and sometimes to be reintroduced into society even later in life might still be necessary.
Yeah.
Only because it might inspire, even might not inspire the people, the generation it was intended for, might inspire a new generation.
Yeah.
But the other thing I was going to mention was, when I wish this would have been part of the movie, I kind of wish that, so I wish the beginning of the movie was more about him not being confident with his music. Like, you know, he would sing it, but he's very timid, or when people ask him about it, he's like, it's okay. Like, he was very uninspired by his own music, but he still wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
So when this all happened, he started to sell people on the Beatles song. Yo, because it started, that's where it kind of started off. Like, yo, this is the best song of all time. Like, that confidence. And people like, man, you're such a genius or whatever. Like,
you're cocky as fuck.
What I would have loved to see is that he starts becoming famous, and that part where he meets up with the people that apparently were part of the same glitch with him that can realize
yeah.
it, that they would ask him, hey, what's up with that last song? It was amazing, but it's not one of the Beatles. He's like, wait, what do you mean?
Oh, like they love one of his own songs. His original.
Well, not just that they love one of his own songs, but that he starts to blur the lines. This whole time he's trying to remember the songs and break them down. And I think,
oh, I get what you're saying.
That he basically at some point he starts blurring the lines between remembering a Beatles song and actually being inspired to write his own music.
Like Finding Forrester.
Kind of, but Finding Forrester is more intentional. But this would be more like, that he was just unconfident to write his own stuff.
Yeah, he
but
was then, writing it till he found his own words.
Exactly. Yeah. And I would have been I would have loved that story, because then he would realize he was being famous for his own music.
Yeah.
For his own inspiration. And then, like, having the girl inspire him to write it, that would have been cool, because it would have been like, and then they would have been the only ones to be able to identify that part where they're like, hey, this song that you wrote is absolutely beautiful, but it was never part of the Beatles. He's like, what do you mean? It was, of course it was part. It was this part, right? It's like, no, Beatles never wrote that song. Or they wrote a song that was named that, but the lyrics were never that.
Yeah.
And he would have just been like, wait.
Well, so you get that, that's right there, that blurred line between.
Yeah, between.
Homage, inspiration and authenticity.
And actual creativity.
Authenticity to yourself. Yeah. That would have been a good, like.
A good message.
Yeah. But then you also, on top of that, they went a different route, which they introduced John Lennon's character, that he's still alive. And there was a small conversation, and I liked it. And he was like, are you happy? He goes like, yeah. He goes, but you're not successful. He goes, wait, I didn't say that. My happiness is my success. Like, I find, he goes, I love the woman that I love for all, as hard as I can. I've sailed the world. I fought battles for things I believe in, and some of them I won. And, you know what I mean? Some of them you lose. But then at the end of the day, I'm successful because I just kept on being true to myself, being honest with myself and everybody around me, because at the end of the day, that's all you have is your truth.
Yeah.
And that is alone is successful, because you're not being truthful to yourself. You're not being authentic to yourself.
It reminded me of a story that I remember hearing one time about a rich guy and a fisherman talking about that, where the rich guy was trying to inspire the fisherman to bring, like, to build his business into something successful. And the fisherman goes, but why would I do that? He goes, well, because, you know, if you're successful, you know, you'll have more time, you know, to be with your kids and all this stuff. And, you know, you can retire in a little island. And I'm like, he's looking around, he's like, but I live on an island. And because my work is so unstressful, I can literally stop working at this time and I spend way more time with my kids. But what you're suggesting would take me away from them. And so basically what you're asking me to do is to work to have what I already have.
Yeah.
And he's like, rich man just realizes, like, wait, it's true. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes what it is, we get blinded by this idea that we need to be successful, and successful only looks one way.
Yeah, like fame and money and fortune. And like, no. And I've always thought like that, but this movie was like, damn, like, yeah. Like, just like small moments of conversation makes me like think deeper in my thoughts. I'm like, it confirms like things that I've thought. I'm like, maybe I don't have to be a multimillionaire. Maybe I don't have to make like $150,000 a year. As long as I'm happy with my family and sufficient to what I need, then I'm successful. I could be the happiest person taking my daughter to fucking soccer practice every Tuesday night. Like, that's success.
My favorite question I would ask people has always been like, if you never had to worry about money, what would you do? Like, they didn't ask that question of what would you do if you were rich? No. What would you do if you never had to worry about money? And people tend to be so honest with that answer, and it's never really about the money. Like, I ask that question to myself all the time, because I feel unsuccessful. I feel like I could do more, I could have done more, whatever. But ultimately, for me, every time I ask myself that question, I always come up with the same results, which is just to travel,
yeah,
and experience like other cultures, other worlds. And I'm like, I don't really need to be rich to do any of that.
Nope.
I just need to exist and find means to get to those places.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I'm saying. So success is, and one thing that movie did kind of hinder that last note at the end, when he finally gets with the girl of his dreams, the girl he's in love with, and they're waking up after he literally just destroyed his whole career and all the money, and he said, "This must be, what was it? This must feel like
I feel like Harry Potter when he defeats Voldemort.
Just now, everything goes back to
normal,
like boring. Like, but he made it seem like boring was great.
Yeah, boring is great.
It can be.
No, it is. Boring is great.
I just want my boring to be more exciting.
I just want my boring to be more exciting.
But no, it was it did not start off that way. But
it didn't start off the way you wanted. But it ended a great.
It caught me.
It caught you and it got ended a good note. All right. So here's a question. Here's a good question.
Yeah.
If this was your movie,
mm-hmm.
is there an artist that you would be like, damn, if I had to choose an artist to recreate their discography or their music right now, if you knew all their lyrics and how this music was broken down, who would it be?
Queen.
Ooh.
I love Queen. I don't know, something about Queen did not follow. Like, if you listen to some of the Queen songs, this shouldn't work. Like, it doesn't follow it feels like normal songs follow as far as like patterns and beats. Like, some songs will start so fast and aggressive and then turn sweet. And it's just like, it's such a ride. Like,
yeah.
Queen's music always feels like a ride versus just listening to a song.
Mine will be Michael Jackson.
Honestly, I'll give you that one because it's such a weird thing. But I remember at one point, Michael Jackson was like, I would see concerts of him and stuff like that. And it was just... It was not like concerts now, because in the sense, I'm not even saying the old man bit, like, oh, my, back in my day type thing. It's just when you see every artist seems to have the same group of people, right?
Yeah.
Their fan base always seems like the same.
Same demographic, yeah.
Yeah. Same people. Like, I can pick out 10 people from every concert and probably they'll look just like every other 10 people in the concert, right? Michael Jackson didn't feel like that at all. Like, it felt like, literally, it was such a huge, diverse group of people that just loved everything he did. And at the time, I think it was just everything he did feel like magic.
Yeah.
And it was weird. It was like, think about all like the way he did his sets or his costumes. And, you know, we look at it like a joke now, but back then it was like, it literally felt like magic.
It was like epic.
Yeah.
It was in a whole different world. But like that. So Queen and Michael Jackson.
Yes, sir.
We'll do a feature together.
Let's do it.
All right. So now we get into ratings. How many Nickies do you give this?
I hate that you took away the 5.
I didn't take away the 5.
You took away the 5.
What do you mean 5? 3.5.
Yeah.
I was like 3.5, not 5.
No, I know, but it's the thing. I hate that because this is. I will give it a 3. I want. If they had a more strong ending, like if it captured me. Because I tried to watch it earlier today and I couldn't. because I just felt so distracted because it didn't intrigue me. But if I think if I had a stronger beginning, maybe some
pulled you in further in.
Yeah, and I think stronger characters in the wrong one. And the lead actor, I liked him. He was cool, but man, if you would have had somebody who like a lot more compelling, that would have broke my heart in some sense.
Yeah.
So I would give it a 3.
I was gonna be like 3.25.
Because I'm like, 3.5, don't start checking. Like
3.25 is good, or 3.75. I mean, like,
oh, super, my god, you're like really
super close to a 4, but not there. But I think it's a little bit better than a three, not a like a 3.5, just slightly better than a 3, above a 3.
If that's how you feel.
3.46.
I put
just fucking at that one.
3.
Yeah. For me. So. 3.25.
Okay.
3.25. I give it. It's just
3.25.
I think the music selections, and I don't know. One of them is Imagine. I think it was, that's one of their songs,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't play it, which was like, oh, okay. Why didn't that was like a popular song, but the music selection was great. It gave me more appreciation to the band that I want to hear more of their music and learn more about them. But then at the same time, whoever younger, like generation younger than us could be like, oh shit, these songs sound amazing. Let's see what else they have. And that,
if you think about it, we kind of are in that situation now because I've been seeing that a lot on TikTok where younger generations are like playing these songs and they're like, the joke is like, oh, you guys didn't have anything like that. And the guy's looking at him like weird and realizing he plays his song.
Yeah,
that was identical as far as the hook, the beat, the curl. Like, yeah, like
it's like this is this song from from my generation. It's like, oh shit,
exactly. Or I've seen worse where somebody would like a Gen Z is saying this is a great new song, this is awesome, and then a millennial would be like, dude, that's this song.
Yeah,
and then a Gen X or a boomer would come out.
I was like, no, that's this song.
That's this song. Like, and they're all basically the same song.
Yeah, it's just evolution of the music.
Exactly.
Well, like that, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to the latest episode from My Mom's Garage. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever your streaming platforms is at. We're there. As always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. See you next week.
Later.